All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast. It's episode 6. It is June 6, 2017. This is Pat Lane and Mike Langone with you. Today we're going to be talking about a little bit of NBA Finals, a little bit of Stanley Cup Finals, just kind of keep you updated on what's going on there. And then we're really today going to be talking about some historical inaccuracies in sports.
That's what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, I mean, this is like an itch we've been waiting to scratch. Like, this is it. This is the one. Like, we're super pumped about this one. Things gonna be an awesome one. Hopefully, you guys will think the same way. So, should be a lot of fun. So, anyways, follow us on. Before I talk about us, big thanks to MDOT for the intro and outro music. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at MDOT Boston. Okay, he's also available on Spotify, and his newest album, Ego and the Enemy, is available on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at Weekend War Pod, which is no E's. So WKNDWARPOD. That's our Twitter handle. And it's also our email address at Gmail. So it's WKNDWARPOD.com. So tweet us, email us, send us a telegram, do whatever you got to do to get in touch with us. Okay. So let us know too if there's something else, historical inaccuracy, where you're like, they have it wrong, right? So everyone says this, but they're wrong. It's actually this happened during this event. So you'll see what we're talking about as we get into it. So, all right, with that said, let's get it started. So as I said, we're going to start with the NBA Finals. I mean, it's not close.
No.
it's not close. I mean, last game Sunday night, which, by the way, it's like freaking a week between games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Sweet, stupid.
It's like the NFL playoffs.
It's unbelievable. I mean, like, what the hell's the need for it? You know, like, the first game was Thursday, then it was Sunday, then it's Wednesday. Like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, they're trying to build hype, but when the series sucks, well, right, there's really not much hype to be built.
Right. I mean, it's June 6th today, right? Game 3, which is tomorrow night, is June 7th. Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals was on May 25th.
Wow.
Like, what are we doing? And if it somehow goes to 7 games, which it's not, but if it somehow went to 7 games, Game 7 is scheduled for June 17th.
18th.
18th?
Yeah, on the Sunday, yeah.
What the F? Like, what are they doing? Like, we don't need that.
It takes 17 days to play a 7-game series.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I can see one for the travel day, an extra day there.
Right.
But when it's like, you know, game one and two. Game one was Thursday. Game two, Sunday.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of...
So, you have Friday and Saturday off, and you're not traveling.
Yeah.
Like, what, are they going to go out partying one night so they want an extra night to, like, It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but it's not close. We texted back and forth during game two, and you had said the NBA was broken.
It is broken. It totally is. No team should be... It's not that they're talented. It's just the way that they were built. And it's not really the league. It's more the players in the league. It's a culture thing. Because you always could have done something like with this, a super team. And I blame the Celtics, the 08 Celtics, for this.
That's true.
But, I mean, Bird could have gone to the Lakers, I'm sure. And Jordan could have went to the Celtics. And right. But those guys were built differently. And nowadays, it's... Like, you know, people don't care as long as I have a ring. You
right.
Know? So that's what it's all about.
Well, I think you're right. They're more focused on legacy maybe now.
Yeah, because they hear people give, you know, Barkley crap and, you know, Dan Marino in football.
Right. Right, because they didn't win a ring.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think, and the other part of it, you look at it and you just say, okay, well, why can't you just stay where you were, right? Like you were saying, like, and build the team around you. And I think now... The game is so reliant on stars, and it's always been a star
power
game.
It's always been like that since the beginning of the league, really.
But look at the 90s with Jordan. Mm-hmm. It was Jordan and Pippen, and there was really nobody else. It was just two of them.
Right. They were a team.
Right.
It wasn't like
they were a team.
Yeah, it wasn't like Jordan carried them.
Right.
He wouldn't have, you know, done what they did with if he didn't have those other guys.
Right. Which is true. And so, you know, I mean, I think... But now it's not like that.
No.
I mean, look, the Warriors have four superstars. Four. Mm-hmm. The Cavs have three superstars, and they can't compete with them. Right. It's just, it's foolish. I mean, LeBron had a triple-double at the end of the third quarter. At the end of the third quarter, LeBron had a triple-double.
They lost by 19.
And they were down by 14 points. Like, okay, and Kyrie didn't show up, so maybe you say, okay, well, Kyrie shows up, and if he shows up...
It shouldn't matter. If your best player has a triple-double, that should be enough, because he's getting assists in there somewhere.
Yeah, he was assists. He had, like, 29 points or something like that at that point. I mean, he was killing it, and they just couldn't keep up with them because the Warriors are so good. And Durant is a great player, and, you know, when you look at Durant and say he's probably, talent-wise, the second-best player in the NBA... And you went to a team that won 73 games last year that was up 3-1 on this same Cavs team last year. It was the same team last year. They brought the same team back. This Warriors team was up 3-1, and then Draymond Green got suspended. Questionable suspension. Questionable?
Yeah.
Okay, Draymond Green's a douche for sure. He kicks people in the nuts all the time on purpose, quote-unquote, accidentally, like he says. But we all know it's on purpose, Draymond. It's okay, but... He still probably shouldn't have been suspended.
Well, you don't suspend somebody in the NBA Finals. Unless they literally murder another player on the court.
Right. I mean, you know, you just don't do that. I mean, the league's a little different, okay? Mm-hmm. But I still remember the 84 Celtics with Kurt Rambis getting clothesline coming down the line. And
so you're going to foul call him then?
I think he kicked out of the game. Like, it just, you know, I mean, come on, you know? The game's clearly different now, right? That was 30 years ago. But even still... It's the freaking NBA Finals. Like, we're here because we want to see good players play in the best spot.
Yeah.
And then they lose game five, they lose game six, and then it snowballs, they lose game seven. And so, you know, whatever, they lost the 3-1 lead. But you could argue that if Draymond doesn't get, and as a matter of fact, I was tweeting back and forth with MDOT today, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, if Draymond doesn't get suspended, they probably win last year too. And then Durant goes. So it's like they become that much better, that much more unstoppable.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they were talking about Felgar-Massa. They actually made some good points on Felgar-Massa today, shockingly. but they were saying that, you know, it's not just the Warriors. It's the fact that it's the Warriors and the Cavs. So it's both sides. So you know what the finals are going to be every single year.
Right, yeah.
Right? And yeah. And actually, it may have been EEI. Hawley was saying this. You know, if we had, you look at the NFL. Everyone's picking the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl, right? Everyone's picking because the Patriots are the team to beat. Now, they may not win. It's also not a series. It's one game. So one game you could lose. A seven-game series? Like, no one's beating the Patriots in a seven-game series. But it's not a seven-game series. It's one game. So it's possible for the Patriots to lose one game. But even still, let's say everyone's picking the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. Everyone thinks Patriots are going to be there. Who's going to the NFC? Nobody knows.
Right.
Nobody knows. And so even though you have the Patriots as that team that everyone hates and everyone, but there's still someone in the NFC you can say, okay, we don't know what's going to happen. So at least the NFC playoffs are going to be interesting. And the AFC playoffs are going to be interesting too because, like I said, it's one game. Like, the Patriots can always lose one game. It's just one. So, anyways.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It's just, there's a really bad lack of parity in the NBA.
Right.
And it's getting like that in the NFL because it's always the same teams really in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And but you know, you look at the NHL, you have no idea who's going to win the cup at the beginning of the year. No one's repeated since the Red Wings in the late 90s.
That's true.
And baseball, too. I mean, it used to be always the same teams. It was always Yankees, Braves. But nowadays, I mean, the Cardinals are always there. The Cubs have been there the last couple of years.
Right.
And the Giants, but for the most part, I mean, those teams, like the Giants, always come off as a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, because they suck during the regular season.
They suck an odd number of years.
Right, they do. It's true. But I mean, you know, I don't know. The thing that kills me, right, people, you talk about historical inaccuracies. People tweet out, I've seen a lot of tweets with Bill Russell with all the rings. Oh, you think that it's a bad thing for the league for to have one? Yes, I do. Yeah. Do you know what the fucking NBA was like in the 60s? Nobody fucking watched it. Nobody. Yeah. You could go to an NBA Finals game and walk up to the window a half an hour before game time and buy tickets. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. Is that what you want for the NBA?
People cared about the Bruins here.
Right.
Instead of the Celtics. They won 11 championships in 13 years. It's like in baseball, the Braves. People stopped caring about the Braves because they kept going to the playoffs every year.
Right. And so it's just, you know, of course the Braves lost every year.
Well, yeah, but you look at the Yankees now, too. I mean, they were in the playoffs a few years ago, and people weren't showing up to games.
Right.
You know, it kind of loses its luster after a while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to me, it's a culture thing in the NBA, and the super team started with the 2008 Celtics.
You're right.
Much as we think of them as like these gritty underdogs, you know, they bought a championship just like everybody else is doing.
They did, but it's a little bit different because they were all at the end of their career instead of the prime of their career.
Yeah, but KG still won Defensive Player of the Year that year. Ray Allen had good years left in him. Pierce had good years left in him. I mean, they weren't. If that team got together in like 2001 or 2002,
they would have
dominated that decade.
Right.
They were more seasoned veterans, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, and they weren't old, and you know their window was like 3 years, and they
well, it's true. But I would still say they were on the downside of their career.
Yeah, like they certainly peak, were. Right. Yeah.
Whereas Golden State and Cleveland too, like none of them are past their prime.
No,
you Golden could State, maybe say LeBron is past his prime. Maybe
all those guys in Golden State are under 30.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. That Golden State thing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Trade Klay Thompson. It'd be good for the NBA and the Celtics. Trust me.
No. I'm sorry. I don't want him here with his. This culture.
Oh, get out of here.
This is Warriors.
Get out of here with that. I'll take Klay Thompson any day and twice on Sunday.
Nope.
So, just a quick update on the NHL playoffs. It's basically just a hold serve here. Home teams won all four games. So, it's 2-2 headed back to Pittsburgh for game 5 on Thursday night. So, Nashville won 4-1 last night. So, you know, they've taken care of business for the most part. So we'll see what happens. You know, I'm rooting for Nashville still over Pittsburgh, but, you know, Pekka Rene didn't show up in the first two games, and he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, he was money last night.
So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, but that one's an interesting one to watch as well. Luckily, it's not quite as long in between games as it is in the NBA. So they may actually finish that one before they finish the finals, which, you know, would be nice.
But you know who the biggest star is? It's the Cup.
You're right. It's true.
People go nuts for the Cup.
They really do. It's wild.
Like no other championship is like that. I love it.
Oh, the Cup is so cool. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, we saw it at the Winter Classic.
That's right. The Winter Classic was there.
Yep.
Shit, you're right.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so cool, dude. You hear the stories about people drinking beer out of it.
Yeah, eating cereal out of it, throwing it in the pool. Dude.
It's just, you know, the things that have happened to that. Holy shit.
I think Martin Brodeur played a street hockey game with his buddies for it. On his day with the Cup, and the best in a lot of ways the most embarrassing was Ray Bourque bringing the Cup to Boston.
That was just terrible. But you know, I mean,
I loved it. He deserved it. Wow! And thank you, Ray, for bringing the Cup.
Hell yeah! That was awesome. And they traded him. They traded him because of it. They said, you know, we love you. You've been unbelievable. You've stuck with us the whole time.
Yeah.
And we're just not good enough. And we want you to win a championship. So we're sending you to the best team to win a championship with. I'm talking about chasing a trophy. But, like, that was the Bruins basically saying, like, we suck. So here you go. Go win a championship with them. You know, good luck. And everybody was rooting for him. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was a cool moment.
Yeah.
You're right. A little embarrassing. But nevertheless.
Oh, yeah. It's a dark day for Boston Bruins hockey. Yeah. But there's been plenty of those.
So. They're doing a parade for a guy on another team. But, you know.
So Bruins. They probably fired their coach that day, too.
They probably did. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see. So, all right. So that pretty much covers the finals. Red Sox stuff. We're sorry, Red Sox. We just, you know, it's
we'll
Red
get
Sox.
To you.
It's Red Sox Yankees. So there's some stuff to talk about. You know, Drew Pomeranz throwing 125 pitches tonight. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Great job, Johnny boy. Nice job on that cold night in June, nonetheless. But even still, a fucking cold night. Having a guy with elbow problems throw 125 pitches. Great, great decision making.
Yeah, a little too late to veto that trade.
Oh, Lord. That was a mess.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? So anyways, we'll get to you, Red Sox. But first, we're going to get to this historical inaccuracy stuff. So we have a decent amount of Patriots here because I feel like the Patriots stuff is interesting, is the most interesting, and then we have some stuff here at the end that we'll we'll get you prepared for, okay? Mm-hmm. But the first one that I want to talk about is 06. It's the one that kills me. Okay, the Patriots lost the AFC Championship game to Indianapolis in 2006, and Indianapolis went on to play quite possibly the worst team to ever make a Super Bowl in the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears were so bad, okay?
They were so bad. Huh? They had home field that year.
They did have home field, mm-hmm. okay? They were like the number one seed. Their defense was great. Yeah, great. Nobody cares. Rex Grossman was their quarterback. Rex Grossman was their quarterback, okay? But here's what sums up the Bears. The Colts kicked off in the opening kickoff, and Devin Hester returned it for a touchdown. So every time the Colts kicked off from then on, they either kicked it to the up back or they kicked it out of bounds. Out of bounds. They started every drive between the 30 and 40 yard line. Every single drive started between the 30 and 40 yard line, and they couldn't score any points.
Wow. They didn't score an offensive touchdown that game?
They may have scored one. But it was just like, it was ridiculous. It was a joke. They were terrible.
Yeah.
And the Patriots would have crushed that team.
Who's their coach? Lovie Smith. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. What a guy. But so that was 06. But here's the thing, okay? Everybody says, well, if they didn't make the Deion Branch trade, they would have won the Super Bowl in 2006. And I want to smack everybody in the face. I really do. I lose my ever-loving mind when people say that. It drives me insane. I've tried calling radio stations. I've tried telling people this, and they're like, no, you're wrong. Oh, you totally blah, 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 blah. First of all, shut the fuck up, okay? Here's the thing with the Deion Branch trade, okay? They traded him to Seattle. They got a number one pick for Deion Branch, okay? Now, you ask me if the trade worked out, okay? I'm going to tell you what happened with the trade. You could tell me whether you think the trade worked out or not.
Okay.
Okay? They traded Deion Branch 2006 for a 2007 first-round pick from Seattle, okay?
Yep.
That first-round pick, they had two first-round picks right together in 07. They drafted the big bang clock, Brandon Merriweather, with one of them.
Yep.
Okay? And then they traded the other one to San Francisco for a guy by the name of Joe Staley. So Joe Staley, pretty good. Was drafted by San Francisco in that spot. The Patriots, in return, got a first-round pick in 2008 and a fourth-round pick in 2007. Okay, mm-hmm. The fourth-round pick in 2007, they traded to the Oakland Raiders for a guy by the name of... what's the guy's name? He caught 22 touchdown passes in 07. He's one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Wasn't Chris Carter, was it?
No, not Chris Carter.
Because I'm thinking Vikings.
Right, Vikings, mm-hmm. Chris Carter. Oh, Randy Moss. That's him. Randy freaking Moss, people. Yeah. Okay, Randy Moss. Okay. The 08 first round pick that they traded their 07 pick for ended up number 7 in the draft. Okay, they traded back to 10, picked up an extra third round pick. Sean Gray, we'll just forget about that one. And drafted Jerod Mayo at number 10.
Not a bad pick.
So, for the Deion Branch trade, they waited 1 year and picked up Randy Moss, and waited an extra year and picked up Jerod Mayo. I'd say it was a pretty good trade, don't you think?
Yeah.
Decent trade. Worked out okay. Okay? Now, did Rishay Caldwell drop a pass that would have won them the game? Yes, he did. That's true. I'm not going to deny that. If Deion Branch were in that exact same situation, in the exact same spot, he probably would have caught it. I say probably because you never know. Okay? Mm-hmm. They scored 34 points. The final score was 38-34, and you're blaming the offense? what are we doing? What the hell are we talking about? They scored 34 points. They were up 21-3 with 10 seconds left to go in the first half. They were up 21-6 at halftime.
Yeah. Didn't they went up at like 28-6, right, in the third, or 24-6?
I think the Colts scored first in the second half.
Okay.
But it was never really close, and then the Colts came back, and the Patriots lost steam, and the story is that, you know, the entire Patriots team had the flu, and the Colts turned up the heat in the dome, and blah, 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 whatever. Yeah,
fake noise, too.
Right. Oh, they pumped in the fake noise. You got that right, baby.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, look, the yards were 455-319. 455-319. And the Colts had 125 rushing yards. And so, you know, the Patriots' third down was not good. 5-14 was terrible on third down. So clearly they had, you know, they weren't doing what they wanted to be doing. So maybe you could say, well, you know, they had some problems at wide receiver. And then some people will tell you, well, clearly they had problems at wide receiver because look what they did in 07. They went out and got Stallworth and Moss and Welker. And, And that's true. All of that is true. What I'm telling you is they scored 34 points. 34 points. Does Deion Branch get them 41? Like, maybe, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're saying they lost the game because they scored 34 instead of 41, like, what are we talking about? You know, like, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
So that one drives me up a freaking wall.
And that was a weird year, too, because the Patriots and the Colts were both wildcard teams.
Yeah. Yep.
It was a really weird year. And that was the Chargers game the week before.
Yep. Where they shouldn't have even made it past the Chargers. Yeah. But that freaking numbskull picked it off and started running. And Troy Brown stripped the fumble away. And that's when I lost all respect for LaDainian Tomlinson. That year. It's too funny, dude. Because 2 years in a row with LaDainian Tomlinson. In 06, he was bitching after the game because they were doing Sean Merriman's lights out dance on the field. So disrespectful. Boo. Shut up, dude. And then in 07, which we'll talk about. Well, we might talk about it in a little while.
You can handle it.
Philip Rivers played with a fucking torn ACL, and LaDainian Tomlinson hurt his toe and was sitting on the bench crying instead of playing football in the AFC freaking championship game. Like, dude, just go home.
Yeah.
Seriously. So anyway, so that's 06. That one felt good. That one's been on me forever, man. That one's been on me forever. So we won't do them in chronological order. So I'll talk about 2014 next. We're a little bit more positive here. Okay. 2014, at least Boston sports-wise, 14 is more positive. By the way, speaking of 2014 Super Bowl, it's kind of unbelievable to think about this, but it's the second greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Yeah.
Like before February, it was the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, only 10 points.
And you look at it and say, especially after this year, you're like, 10 points, that's nothing.
Right.
That's nothing. But no team in the history of the Super Bowl had ever come back down 10 points at any point. Well, maybe not at any point. I should. That's wrong. In the fourth quarter.
Oh, in the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter.
Because Dallas was down 10 to Buffalo.
And then came back.
28? Super Bowl 28, I think. Yes.
Yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it wasn't 10 at any point, but it was 10 in the fourth quarter.
No one ever overcome that.
You know, the Patriots did it, and so.
Oh, and real quick, the Washington Redskins came back from down 10 in Super Bowl 23. Yeah, that was the Doug Williams game.
Doug Williams. Yeah. It's my boy.
Yeah.
First black quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Woo woo.
And the only team to win 3 Super Bowls with the same coach and 3 different quarterbacks.
Holy shit, the Washington Redskins.
Joe Gibbs.
If you can't tell, we have a Redskins historian here with us.
I'm only wearing a sweatshirt right now. It says Redskins.
It's true. So, okay, so 2014, we all know basically what happened now at this point, right? The Patriots score 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They go up by 4. The Seahawks get the ball. Now, here's what happened with the Seahawks. They get the ball. There's like 2:05 left in the game. They have all 3 timeouts. All 3. And the 2-minute warning. So they can stop the clock 4 times with the ball. First pass, fucking Jamie Collins gets smoked by Marshawn Lynch on a sluggo, which is a slant and go. Bit on the slant like you wouldn't believe. Caught up to Lynch, but they picked up like 30 yards on first down.
Mm-hmm.
So now they get the ball at freaking midfield. That's the 2-minute warning. Okay, so there's one of them. So that's 1 out of 4 gone. Okay, Malcolm Butler had already been in the game. And as a matter of fact, it was interesting. Collinsworth had made a few comments about Butler. I think on that drive, he made a few comments about Butler because he had played really well.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
So anyways, he makes a play kind of downfield, knocks a ball away from Kearse, who made that ridiculous catch. They couldn't get the play in time. The clock is stopped. They couldn't get the play in time. They have to call timeout. So I'm sitting there watching it like, what the hell are they doing?
Would you take the penalty, though?
Hell no.
No?
No, I wouldn't. No, but you got to get the freaking. I mean, it's.
Well, but if it's like. How much time was left? A little less than 2 minutes. Where were they on the field?
They were like midfieldish. Yeah. I think it was like right after the 2-minute warning. So you had about 2 minutes left. So you figure, okay, we got to call a timeout. You don't really have to have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really have a choice there. So you say, okay, well, what are you going to do? So you take a timeout, you lose a timeout, but you still have 2.
Right.
So you're sitting there thinking, all right, we still got 2 timeouts. If we have to stop the clock, we can, but we're not at a position where we're really going to have to stop the clock anytime soon. So then, whatever, they run a few plays. Then they throw the long pass to Curse. Curse catches the ball. Okay, unbelievable play. Obviously, I mean, we've seen it a million times. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
If the Patriots Butler made a good play on that, too.
Butler made a fantastic play on that. And not only did he make a fantastic play on that, but he also made an unbelievable play getting up and finding the football and seeing Curse still with the ball and pushing him out of bounds. Because if he just gets up and is celebrating like, you know, like I made just made a great play, Curse walks into the end zone, scores, and the Patriots probably lose.
Yeah.
You know, and so great play by him pushing him out of bounds. Collinsworth, actually, shout out Chris Collinsworth here. Good job, because they ran the replay like a bunch of times. And they're at the 5-yard line with a minute left. The 5-yard line with 1 minute left. And they're coming back from one of their replays. And he says to Al Michaels, "But they're not in yet." And I was like, rewatching that, I didn't really realize what he was saying. But rewatching that, I was like, holy shit, dude. He freaking nailed that. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Like, talk about foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so anytime you watch, because I still have it on my DVR, so anytime I watch it, I'm like, I get chills anytime he says that, because, like, obviously I know what That's happens crazy. At this point, you know. But for him to say that, and then for them to not score, it was unbelievable, right? So anyway, so the curse play happens. Everyone's kind of running down there. They're all excited, whatever. They don't get the play in again. They got to call timeout again. That's their second call timeout with the clock stopped under 2 minutes. The clock is stopped here, people. What are we doing? We're calling timeout with the freaking clock stopped. Like, holy shit. Get your shit together here, Pete Carroll.
Oh, it's a Super Bowl.
Right?
So, you were there last year. What are you nervous about?
It was unbelievable. So they call timeout. They get one timeout left. There's like 1:05 left to go in the game. Okay? They run the ball at Marshawn Lynch, and I've talked to a few people about this that were there, actually, and they said, you know, the play that Hightower made was so unbelievable. The hole was so gaping on the left-hand side. Lynch is walking into the end zone.
Yeah.
And Hightower, with a bum shoulder, bench presses Russell Okun, the left tackle, throws him down, basically, and dives at Lynch's legs and somehow takes him down. And Akeem Ayers was there too, but he just kind of stopped them from leaning over. And so he goes down at the 1. So now they're down at the 1-yard line. It's 2nd down. Now they throw the pass, okay? That's what happens. They throw the pass, and everyone says, oh, well, you know, what a terrible play call. And I agree, terrible play call. But here's the thing. They were forced into that terrible play call by their horrendous clock management.
Right.
Okay? And then not only was it their horrendous clock management, but Pete Carroll looks at that and says, all right, we're going to run the ball, and then Belichick's going to call a timeout so we can get the ball back.
Yeah.
You can't do that, because Belichick, obviously, didn't call a timeout. And I don't know about you, but I assume you were doing the same thing I was doing, which is fucking screaming at the television, telling Belichick to call a timeout. Yeah. Collinsworth and Michaels are both saying, he should probably call a timeout here. Like, maybe it'd be a good idea. And Bill's just sitting there like, no, we're good. And I remember watching the We Are Patriots special that NFL Network did, and they're interviewing Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator, and they're saying, you know, he was talking about the moment, and he's like, Bill, you want to call the timeout here? And he's like, yeah, we'll think about it. We'll see. And he's like, Bill, what about that timeout? We're just going to let it play. Like, don't worry about it. And he's like, okay, there's like 1 minute left in the Super Bowl. Then you're like totally fucking calm. Like, how is that even possible, you know? And so... So anyway, so he obviously doesn't call a timeout, and now Carroll has to throw the ball. Because if you run it on 2nd down and don't get in, you have to take your last timeout. Right. Now you have no timeouts left. You cannot run it on 3rd down, because if you don't get in on 3rd down, the clock expires and the game's over. You can't spike it,
yeah.
Right, and so if you don't get in on 2nd down, you have to burn your last timeout, and then you have to throw the ball on 3rd down. And then you can do whatever you want on 4th down if you don't get in, right? But so the idea is that on 2nd down, you at least give them something to think about.
Yeah.
Maybe you can run. Maybe you can throw. Like, whatever. Who knows? So maybe you give them something to think about. The play call, still terrible. But if it's me,
They're backed into a corner.
Right.
So they just had to.
Exactly. And they backed themselves into the corner by the horrendous clock management. Mm-hmm. And again, for me, here's what I would have done. If I'm Pete Carroll, we're at the 5-yard line. You just call the fucking timeout. You just call the timeout here, Pete. Okay? Get your offense together and say, okay, here's the first play. We're going power left with Marshawn. If we don't get in Everybody run to the line. We're lined up, and here's the second play.
Right.
Because guess what happens after they run to the line or run a second play? Guess what happens?
They run it in?
No.
What?
What do you think happens before they run it in? Bill Belichick calls a timeout.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you get the freaking clock stopped.
Yeah.
Well, now you got another timeout, Pete. Guess what you do again? You call two plays in the huddle again. If you don't get in on second down, then you line back up again. And then guess what happens? Bill Belichick calls it. So now Belichick is stopping the clock for you because you're pushing him into a corner instead of the defensive coach pushing you. The defensive coach can't push the offensive coach into the corner at the 1 yard line with the Super Bowl on the line. You can't let that happen. And that's what happened to Pete Carroll. It's like he got so outcoached on that last drive. It's unbelievable. He's
just unprepared for that situation.
Right. And that's really the truest statement I think you've ever said, Mike. Unprepared for the situation. And Belichick, as we all know, is prepared for every situation.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what he was ready for. He was ready for that situation. And he's talked about it. He's like, well, I know the communication wasn't great over there based on our trip in 07, 7 years ago. Like, 10 years ago. No big deal. You know, like, it's fine. You know, we were there 7 years ago. Like, it was bad communication. So I figured they might have bad communication too. Like, what are we, what? Like, what the hell are we talking about? And so, you know, yeah, lots to hate on that play. The play call, terrible. But again, Pete Carroll backs himself into a corner.
Right, yeah, there's plenty of context to just the play. It wasn't just like, yeah, let's just run a slant pattern.
Right, right. And it's a rub route. I mean, you think that play usually works, although I would never throw it in the middle of the field.
I've never seen anyone do that. You got to throw that in the corner.
Right, because worst case scenario, you throw it out of the end zone.
Yeah.
Right? You say to Russell Wilson, look, if you see the guy open, you throw it there. But you put it in a spot where he is the only person that can catch it.
Because what if he catches that and he's knocked out of the end zone and he doesn't get it, he doesn't break the plane?
Right, right.
Then it's the same situation as if you were running the ball. So
there's too many bad things are going to happen. Yeah. Or what if a defensive lineman sticks his hand up in the air and tips it and it goes shooting up in the air and then the Patriots have an easy shot at it? Like,
right.
There's too many bad things are going to happen throwing the ball in the middle of the field. So terrible play call, yes. But it doesn't get the lack of clock management by Carroll does not get the press that it should there.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, before, you know, in the drive, the timeouts in the drive, but then also not, you know, at that point, it's about putting pressure on the opposite team. The Seahawks didn't do that. The Seahawks allowed the Patriots to put pressure. The Patriots are not in a position to be putting the Seahawks in pressure, right?
Right, and especially the momentum was there.
Right.
They just had a crazy catch. They had the play you mentioned before with Lynch. I remember that play, and I thought that the game was over after the Lynch play.
Yeah. I mean, there's a minute left to go in the game, and you're at the 5 yard line, and the defense pushes you around at that point. The opposite team's coach
never that's the most
forces you into a corner.
Bizarre, one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, because you never see that in any game, not just a Super Bowl.
Right, right. It's just it was unbelievable. So yes, the play was terrible. It was an unbelievable play by Butler, obviously, but the play itself isn't the story. I don't think the Pete Carroll whole debacle is more the story.
Right.
So anyways, that's 2014. That was a positive note. That's one positive note there for all you Boston fans. We won that Super Bowl,
unless
so that's
a
good thing for us.
Seahawks
fan. And then, you know, you're a 12, so, like, go screw yourself. So speaking of 12, we'll talk about the 2011 season, which that game was played in 2012. See that segue there? That was pretty nice, right? Professional. That was a professional segue.
That was good.
Right? Now, maybe it was a little less professional since I'm talking about the segue. But, you know, what? Same thing.
You sound like a guy who's done six episodes of a podcast.
So 2011, they'll set the stage for you. Patriots again in the Super Bowl, shockingly, against the Giants. Didn't turn out the way we wanted it to turn out, obviously. Okay, the big play in 2011 that everyone remembers, besides the Mario Manningham catch, which was ridiculous, obviously, was the Wes Welker play. Welker catches that ball, and they probably win the game. Okay. I think it's 50-50, Welker, Brady. I mean, I think it wasn't a great throw.
Right.
However, you get two hands on the ball, you catch the ball. I mean, high school, Pop Warner, NFL, especially when the game's on the line in the Super Bowl, you get two hands on the ball, you catch the ball. Right? So, but I think it's, in my opinion, if you had to ask me, 50-50, Welker, Brady. Okay.
Yeah.
Better throw by Brady, better catch by Welker, And we're, you know, we're talking about them winning their sixth championship this year instead of their fifth. So, but anyways, for me personally, it's not the Welker play. Okay. And the thing that, and this is like my thing, man. This is the one, this is the thing that I will go with forever until people acknowledge it. And no one has ever acknowledged it ever. Here I am, the first person on recorded sound ever acknowledging this play.
This is
no
history.
One's ever mentioned it before. This is history happening right here. So here we go. The play before the Deion Branch play, okay? They had first and 10 at the 43-yard line, okay? The Giants' 43-yard line. So they're on the other side of the 50. First and 10, 4.5 minutes left to go in the game. Giants have one timeout left. Pick up two first downs, the game's over, basically. Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, maybe there's a little bit of time left, but you pick up two first downs and you're in field goal range.
Yeah.
Okay, so you win the game, all right? They run a power left, okay? For those of you that aren't sure what a power left is, it's just a run off the left-hand side of the line, okay? And it was between the point is between the guard and the center is where you're running it. Okay, so some people call that B gap, but wherever you want to say between the center and the guard. Okay? I would call it A gap, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you want to call it, okay? So anyways, they run that play. Now Dan Conley, who was the center, and Logan Mankins, who was the left guard, they have a combo block. Okay, well, what a combo block is it means that there's a guy in a one technique, which is he's the outside shoulder of the center. So he's basically between the center and the guard. Okay, the center and the guard are responsible for that guy and one of the linebackers. Okay, so they both block that guy, and wherever he goes, if he goes right towards the center takes him, and then the guard goes to take the linebacker. If he goes left towards the guard takes him, and the center goes off towards the linebacker. However it happens, one of them takes that guy, the other one takes the linebacker, okay? So it's a zone left. All blocking in the NFL, run blocking is primarily zone, which means everybody moves in one direction, okay? Everybody moves left. So the guy feels that, and he goes left. So he goes to Mankins, who's the guard, and Conley goes off and takes the linebacker. Every single person in the shot is blocked, okay? I was watching film of it the other day. Every single person on the line of scrimmage is blocked. Every single one of them. Deion Branch is 5 yards down blocking the cornerback. The only guy unblocked is a safety 10 yards downfield.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only guy unblocked, okay? Everyone else, hat on a hat, no one's getting off, everyone's blocked. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm, is going to get the handoff, and he's going to pick up an easy 7 yards. And if he breaks the tackle, that safety who's unblocked right now, he picks up 20 yards, and the game's over.
Yeah.
Okay? Instead, Mankins whiffs on his block somehow. Inconceivably, this guy is inside of Mankins. He's got help from the freaking center for a second, and then he goes to his outside shoulder. Literally, all he has to do is just push him outside, and Ben Jarvis is going to run right up his ass and see you later. He's gone for 7-8 yards. But instead, Mankins whiffs, and instead of it being 2nd and 3 at the 36-yard line, it's 2nd and 11 at the 44. And now you have to throw the ball because you got to pick up a first down.
Right.
And the next play was the Welker play. If that Mankins play happens, if Logan Mankins makes that one block, the Patriots probably win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. So keep your Wes Welker play. That's fine. Mankins is the play before it. Nobody's talked about it. Here we are talking about it. You're welcome. Go back and watch it. I'm telling you, if you go back and watch it, it's unbelievable. It's right there. I mean, the hole's there. He's going to run right through the hole. He's going to pick up 7-8 yards, and they're going to win the game. And instead, he fucking whiffs on his guy, and, you know, they lose. And it's really that simple.
Here's my hot take on that.
Yes?
I think the 2011-2012 Patriots would lose to the 06 Bears.
You're probably right.
I think that team sucked.
That team was terrible. Well, to give you an idea, those of you that don't remember the 11-12 Patriots, Julian Edelman was playing slot corner that year.
Mm-hmm.
Earthwind Moreland was starting at cornerback, and Sterling Moore was starting at the other cornerback. So, yeah, they weren't very good, okay?
No.
They weren't very good. In that Super Bowl, Gronk was hurt. Fucking Bernard goddamn Pollard hurt him again.
And we'll get to him.
Okay, that son of a bitch. We'll get to him at some point. So he hurt him. Hernandez played in that game. You know, the serial killer / RIP in peace. Whatever your name is, Aaron Hernandez. So, but, you know, yeah, that team sucked.
Yeah.
But they were there, right? Myra, Myerkraft blew the field goal wide right. I'm still convinced of it, that Myerkraft kicked up a gust of wind and blew it wide right. So, but anyways, yeah, that team sucked. But
yeah,
they still should have won the goddamn Super Bowl. It's just like ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. So. The Giants weren't much better.
The Giants were not much better. Yeah. No, but again, they just play good in big games, and yeah. And there you go. So,
And then. I think it's time we do it.
It's time. Yeah. Now listen, this is... if you have a weak stomach, okay, you may want to get the barf bags ready, okay? It might be a little tough to take, okay? Might be a little tough to take. We're about to talk about the 86 Red Sox.
Oh, I was going to do the 07 Patriots.
You want to do the 07 Patriots?
Yeah, the alternate.
Shit. All right. Well, maybe we're going to do both the 86 Red Sox and the 07 Patriots. Holy Christ. Okay, well, here we go.
Well, so, we saved it for the end of the show.
Do you want to start? Where do you want to start?
Well, I'll do the 07 Patriots. All right, let's do the 07 Patriots first. It's not so much that game. It's what the helmet catch meant for like the next few years and really up until today. Where that play not only changed that game, but it changed the league really for a few years. Because if that play doesn't happen and the Patriots win that game, the next season the Patriots start on a Thursday night.
Yep.
They don't start against Kansas City. They play Kansas City that year.
Very true.
I mean, looking at that schedule, they probably open against Pittsburgh, or they would probably have Favre's first game with the Jets
on Thursday night. You might be right about that.
And so if they win that Super Bowl, they have 19-0. They win four out of six Super Bowls.
Yeah.
They're 19-0, so they have, like, where do they go from there?
The greatest team in the history of the NFL. And it's not close. Oh, I'm sorry, 72 Dolphins, you know, S a D, like, you're not the greatest anymore. 19-0, you know, and takes
it,
you over.
It changes everything. What are we watching today? Like, what are we looking at today? Yeah. Is Brady retired by now? Is Belichick retired by now?
Maybe. I mean,
do they win more Super Bowls? Like, because I feel like that loss kind of drove them, especially Brady.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for the next few years where, you know, he wasn't right. He was always playing angry for a few years.
You're right.
And that's why they didn't, like, he plays well when he's angry sometimes, but, you know, there was a time there for a few years where he wasn't the same, and I know he had the ACL, but if that ACL injury doesn't happen, you know, it's a totally, like, what would that team have been like?
Well, they were almost haunted by it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Really, they were. And 08, I feel like, was a microcosm of that, because you look at it and say, okay, we just lost the Super Bowl. We lost. And by the way, it's the worst loss in the history of the NFL. And I don't think it's really close, to be honest with you.
Right.
And not as far as,
it wasn't like, just a game and a Super Bowl at stake.
That's really history. You know, that's really the biggest part. I mean, you could say that, you know, the Falcons are the biggest choke job in NFL history, maybe. But that was the biggest loss in the NFL history. And honestly,
I would say that's the biggest choke job.
Wow, but see,
the team scored, Brady had 50 touchdowns, and they ran the ball half the game, and I know the Giants were kicking his ass the whole time, but they scored 14 points, and they only had 7 until, three, four minutes left in the game?
Well, see, the thing about it that really gives me nightmares is it's Bizarro World 2001. It really is, because it's the same thing.
Yep.
You had an arrogant coach saying, you're not going to beat us. We're going to run our offense, and you're not going to beat us.
Right.
And the other team just beat the piss out of him, and he just kept saying, nope, we're going to run our offense, you're not going to beat us. Nope, we're going to run our offense, you're not going to beat us. And they kept fucking doing it. And then they figured it out, but they figured it out too late. The same thing the Saints, the Rams did. The Rams tied it up.
Yep.
They left the Patriots enough time. The Patriots took the lead and won. And the same exact thing happened in the Super Bowl, where the Patriots left too much time, and the Giants scored. By the way, I rewatched the 07 Super Bowl again. That throw from Brady to Moss at the end of the game.
Oh, my God.
At the end of the game, I swear to God, listen, you need to go back and watch it. I know it's horrible.
I watched it a few months ago.
It was like 80 yards in the air. It's the longest pass I've ever seen. It was.
And especially from Brady.
It was unbelievable. It was almost like he gave every single thing that he had to throw that ball. And I swear to you, I screamed at the television when it happened because I was pissed at Randy. If Randy Moss jumps up, he makes that catch. Corey Webster knocked it away from him. But if he jumps instead of just reaching back for it, he catches that ball. Yeah. Could you imagine if if the helmet catch had happened, the Giants score, and then Brady unleashes a fucking 80-yard bomb, and Moss jumps up between two guys and catches it, and the Patriots win that game? Like, that would have been the greatest play in – that would have been better than the helmet catch.
I feel like that would happen today because I feel like defenses suck.
Right, that's true.
It would have happened today. But I lost my train of thought there.
I'm sorry. But no, you're right. I mean, I think you're totally right in the fact that
what I was going to say is that it was very similar to, like you were saying, with the 0-1 team, because the 0-1 Patriots played the Rams that year.
Yep.
And they gave them a run for their money.
True. They and that's lost, what gave them the confidence.
Right.
And they didn't lose after that game. And the same did with the Giants.
The Giants did the same thing. And that was a crazy game,
that
too.
That was an unbelievable game.
Because that was on every channel. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, because the Patriots were trying to go 16-0, and so everyone was like, oh, my God.
It's supposed to be only on NFL Network, and no one got NFL Network.
Right, right. So they put it on all the networks. Yeah, that was pretty wild.
Yeah.
So that's our 07. By the way, that one's blaming the defense as well. Like, shut up. Just shut up. Shut up.
Oh, the offense
was
terrible.
You can't blame
07
for that.
You rewatch that game, they weren't moving the ball at all.
They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't throw the ball.
The Giants had a 10-minute drive to start the game. And they got a field goal out of it.
Yeah.
And that changed momentum
away.
Well,
you know what, though? The Patriots got the ball, and the first drive was the first drive was 16 plays with a field goal. Mm-hmm. The Patriots got the ball and went 12 plays and scored a touchdown. They were up 7-3.
Right.
And so you look at it and say, well, yeah, the Giants have momentum, but the Patriots kind of had momentum as well. And by the way, you know, Felger keeps saying, well, they couldn't get the field in 07. They couldn't get the field in third down, blah, blah, blah. Here, well, Felger, I'm going to give you some facts. Some facts, because we deal in facts sometimes, okay? They were 8 out of 16 on third down. By the way, the Patriots...
In that game?
Yep. By the way, the Patriots were 7 out of 14, so they were both 50%. But the Giants were 8 out of 16. Well, guess what? The Giants went 4 out of 5 on their first drive. On their first drive, that gave them 3 points.
Yeah.
If you take out that 4 out of 5, they were 4 out of 11. Mm-hmm. Their last drive, they were 2 for 2. Take those two out, now they were 2 for 9 between that. So you tell me they were 2 out of 9 other than the first drive and the last drive. And the Patriots couldn't get anything going offensively because the Patriots couldn't get off the field on third down? Shut up. Like, it's not the defense's fault. It's the offense's fault. It just makes sense. It's the greatest offense of all time. They scored 14 points. Like, hello, we're not blaming the defense for that. Stop it.
Do you think Belichick not kicking the field goal is the worst decision of his coaching career?
I think it's the one that probably haunts him the most.
Yeah.
I think it probably is. I mean... You know, you have some, like, the 4th-and-2 decision and stuff like that. But
but
that one, especially with Gostkowski, and I understand Gostkowski's only in his second year. Maybe he didn't trust him enough, but the guy's got a leg. He's one of the
4th-and-11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you got to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
Now, I can see, listen, if it's late in the fourth quarter and you got a 2-point lead and you don't want to do that because you're giving him good, I understand.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that situation. It was, like, in the
third quarter.
Like,
I think they were up.
Yeah, they were up by
4. There was 7-3.
Right. And so it's just like, so take the points, and maybe if he misses it, he misses it. But like, give him a chance.
Yeah.
It's 4th-and-11. If it was 4th-and-1, maybe.
Yeah.
But 4th-and-11, kick the fucking ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the one I would say, if you had to look back, if Bill had to look back, that's probably the one that he regrets the most. And I think the 07 Super Bowl in general, you can look at that and just say, geez, you know, like, I didn't do a good enough job with the game plan, with the players leading up to the week. You know, they've came out and said, you know, we had a terrible week of practice that weekend. It showed.
Yeah, Brady had a bum ankle.
So, he did, right? He was in a walking boot.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I mean, anyways.
They wouldn't be saying that if they won.
True. So. Very true. So, yeah. So, okay. So, let's get into 86 because, okay, 86. Bill Buckner. yep, Bill Buckner. It happened. It did. Okay. But here's the thing. Okay, and a little shout-out to my sister-in-law, Juliana, good friend of the podcast. She's actually helped us out a lot, giving us some good tips and whatnot. So, big shout-out to her. But I was talking to her last night about this, and I said, did you know that the Buckner play? And she said, well, I didn't really know much about the Buckner play, but I knew if Buckner makes that play, they win the game. Now, I know we can't see you, but you can raise your hand if you think that Buckner would have, you know, the Red Sox would have won if Buckner made that play. And by the way, my hand's up too because I didn't watch the game. I didn't know any history about it. I was always told, don't watch the game. Well, we know that, Mike. You're the historian here. We know that, okay? But I was always told, don't watch the Buckner game. Don't listen. Don't talk about it. Don't research it. Nothing. The Buckner play happened. It's the worst thing that ever happened to the Red Sox, right? You got the fever pitch thing with the fucking you know, with the windows blacked out and he's in the thing with the tinfoil and stuff. Okay, fine. So don't do any research on it, but Bill Buckner was the GOAT. Mike, would they have won the game if Bill Buckner made that play?
No. They would have gone to commercial and the Red Sox would have been batting in the top of the 11th.
Holy shit. Yeah. Mind blown. Mind fucking blown. Yeah. How about the fact that they were up 2 runs going into the bottom of the 10th? Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people knew that either. They were up 2 runs going to the bottom of the 10th. They had two outs, and they allowed 3 straight singles.
And they were up in the bottom of the 9th.
And they were up in the bottom of the 9th, yep. too. Yep. No, but it's all Bill Buckner's fault.
Yeah.
So, but okay, they're up 2 going into the bottom of the 10th. They get 2 outs. Now there's 2 outs. Okay. Single. Next guy up. Single. Mm-hmm. Next guy up. Single. It's like 3 straight singles. Yeah. Now the Red Sox are up 1, first and third. By the way, I was on Baseball Reference the other day. At that point, the Mets had a 19% chance of winning.
Wow.
Okay, 19% chance of winning. We got 2 outs on Mookie Wilson. They're 1 strike away, which they were. They were 1 strike away. Mm-hmm. Rich Gedman, the catcher. This is for you, Dad, if you're listening. I don't know if he is or not, but if you're listening, this is for you. My dad can't stand the name Rich Gedman. Your dad, you said your dad feels the same way, right? Rich Gedman, like Rich effing Gedman, okay? He sets up outside, and Bob Stanley misses, throws it inside. And Gedman, instead of diving for the ball because it's, I don't know, maybe it's like 2 outs in the bottom of the 10th in the World Series, he just lackadaisically reaches over for it and misses it. Pass, well, not a pass ball because they consider it a wild pitch, but it really should have been a pass ball.
Yeah.
They score the tying run. The winning run moves to second. Mm-hmm. 2 pitches later, the Buckner play happens.
Yeah.
So if any of those things don't happen, if they hold the lead in the bottom of the 9th, if they don't give up 3 straight singles in the bottom of the 10th, if they don't throw the wild pitch slash pass ball, if they don't do any of those things, the Buckner play doesn't matter. You know, and even if just the wild pitch doesn't happen, okay, just the wild pitch doesn't happen, they still end up tied after the Buckner play.
Yeah.
And so you can look at that one play. And by the way, I mentioned that Baseball Reference thing because I said they were at 19% win percentage before the play. Mm-hmm. After the wild pitch slash pass ball, it was a 60% chance of them winning.
Wow.
Which is a 41% difference. In case you're not good at math, 100 minus 60 is 40%. So there was a bigger change in percentage for them winning on the pass ball slash wild pitch than there was on the Bill Buckner play.
Well, that's so flawed because it's like, well, of course, 100%, but, I would be like, they're going to lose this game.
Well, of course. You know what I mean?
But, no, we got a 40% chance right now. Let's calm down.
Well, which is true, right? But I mean, but even still.
But statistically, that's wild. Yeah.
Statistically, the wild pitch affected the outcome of the game more than the Bill Buckner play, which is kind of unbelievable.
But not only that, Clemens pitching into the 7th with a lead, and he leaves with a blister on his finger, which forever, Roger Clemens will never be a big game pitcher.
Yeah.
And I will always hate him. Because not only that, he went to the Yankees. I hated them before that. I was just a kid. But, you know, I kind of hate how they're trying to, you know, make him, you know, this, like, forgiven person.
Right.
But no thanks. He's doing the radio next week for the Red Sox.
So Mike, what you're saying is that you're not going to misremember the 1986 World Series with Roger Clemens in it? Is that what you're saying?
No, yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I was just curious, you know what I mean? I had to slide in a misremember thing somewhere. I mean, I had to get it in. We're talking about Roger Clemens here. So, and, you know, listen, clearly, right, people will say, well, it was game 6.
Like, it was game 6, and they had a lead in game 7, too.
They did.
3-run lead, but it was over.
But, I mean, look, remember in 04 when they beat the Yankees? Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't win the World Series with that, but they might as well have. Like,
right,
the Cardinals didn't actually have to show up.
Yeah.
You know, the Miracle on Ice in 1980, that wasn't the gold medal game. Right. Everyone forgets that wasn't actually the gold medal game. But the gold medal game didn't really matter because they were winning the gold after that, right? So, same thing here. You know, it didn't make a difference that it was Game 6 and not Game 7. The Mets were going to win Game 7.
Yeah, it's just a demoralizing loss.
Right, and that's, absolutely. You know, it's just, I mean, you had your ace pitching, you know, Clemens, and then you had Stanley come in, and just, you know.
Calvin Schiraldi.
Yep, lost his mind.
Deer in headlights.
You know, and he just, and so there's a million different things. And Buckner shouldn't have even been in the game.
Right, and I'll admit this, that because I'm such a nerd. that I actually have the radio broadcast of Game 6 of the 1986 World Series, the Mets broadcast. I bought it on eBay. And the Mets broadcasters for most of that game, whenever they bring up Buckner, they're saying, you know, he's got to get out of this game because he can barely move. And that whole year, they brought in Dave Stapleton to play first base in the late innings. And they didn't that time because McNamara, who I believe he's John Farrell's father.
Might be.
Yeah. Because John Farrell made a very McNamara mistake, which I'll never forgive him for, in Game 3 of the 13 World Series when he had Mike Napoli on the bench in the top of the ninth.
Yep.
But he sends Brandon Workman to the plate in a tie game. Awesome. And they ended up losing that
game.
And
they pulled Workman before he even pitched.
And
didn't
he? Workman didn't even pitch the next inning.
It's just like, so unbelievable. He just didn't understand.
A professional baseball manager. And you just, what?
Oh, he was saving Napoli in case they went to the 10th. That's why. Oh. That's why he didn't. That's why he didn't hit him then.
God, but because they won that World Series, and
right,
it's all forgiven.
Forget,
but
right.
One person remembers. But yeah, just Buckner obviously shouldn't have been in there, and the reason he was in there is for just like because he was a veteran and he played all these years and he's never been in a World Series and. Like, that's nice.
Right.
But do that if you're up 11 runs. Don't do that when your team's crashing and burning.
Right. And that's really the big thing, right, as you look at it. And we were talking about this the other day. Like, if you're planning your celebration before the game is over, you're going to lose.
Right. It never
Don't
works.
Don't do it.
Never
Arthur
works.
Blank. I'm looking at you, Arthur yep. Blank.
1969 right? Lakers. I'm looking at you.
Right. And so there's a million different things, right? The Eagles against the Patriots, right? Mm-hmm. Had their thing planned, had their parade planned. And, you know, the famous clip of Belichick walking them through everything. Like, oh, this would be great. You'd probably get a great seat if you sit in this fucking street. Like, You just don't do that. You don't do that.
Steelers did that 0-1
Steelers did that 0-1. They had already booked their tickets to the Super Bowl. Like, you fucking idiots. Like, stop it, you know? And they did the same damn thing there, and you just...
Teams never learn.
No. It just... You really don't.
Learn.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, you know? And you just kind of like... Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't be that stupid. So, but they were, and that's the way it goes. So, okay. All right, I think we're done with our cleansing there. I know that may have been
without
a little
86, you don't have 04.
Very true. That's very true. And 04 was unbelievable, and it was amazing. And so you can live with that. Now that you know, if you died somewhere between 86 and 04, I mean, you're not listening to us now, but if you died between 86 and 04, it sucked, okay? I will admit that. But you can deal with 86 because of 04, and they've won, obviously, 07 and then 13 as well. So, you know, they've won since. So. So at least 86 is a little bit more manageable.
Mm-hmm. And so. Buckner, actually, real quick, he left in 87. He came back in 90 to the Red Sox.
Holy
and he got a standing ovation on opening day.
Did he really in 1990? Yep.
And it wasn't until, I think, Dan Shaughnessy's book was The Curse of the Bambino. And that's when, because no one was talking about Babe Ruth in 86.
Right. That's true.
His book came out in, like, I think 88 or 89.
Right.
And that's when it, like, kind of picked up steam.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
Yep. Now the curly-haired boyfriend. That's my favorite. That's, like, my favorite line of
Thank
all
you, Carl
time.
Carl Everett.
Carl Everett. Crazy Carl. Oh, boy. So, all right. So, for this week in sports history, June 11th, 1990, Nolan Ryan pitches his sixth no-hitter. Became the first pitcher, I mean, these statistics are just stupid, became the first pitcher to pitch no-hitters for three different teams. He also became the first pitcher to pitch no-hitters in three different decades in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which is just foolish. He was also the oldest at 43, which he then broke the next year when he was 44, because he threw another one. By the way, there was 130 pitches, 2 walks, 14 strikeouts, and 31 swinging strikes. 31. That's a shitload of swinging strikes. That's just a lot of swings and misses. So I know you had a little take on Nolan Ryan that you wanted
He is the most overrated pitcher in the history of baseball. He never won a Cy Young. He walked more guys than anybody.
Yeah, true.
He's got more strikeouts than anybody, but... I don't know. Give me Randy Johnson over him as far as power pitchers. Even give me Clemens over him, as much as I hate Roger Clemens. But for power pitchers, I mean, yeah, he's he served his purpose, I guess, as a power pitcher. But when he, I think he went to the playoffs twice in his career.
His teams were typically not very good,
right? And you can't blame him for that. But I don't know, for his era, I should say. Steve Carlton, give me him any day of the week, and give me Tom Seaver. Okay. And there's probably some other guys too. But, I think Nolan Ryan is just extremely overrated. Anyone can throw a no-hitter.
All right, I'm with you. By the way, a ridiculously stupid fact that I shouldn't know, but I do know, and you can actually ask some trivia question to people and win some money or something. I don't know. But maybe you will, maybe you won't. He is the first player in Major League Baseball history, or was the first player in Major League Baseball history, to play for all four original expansion teams. How about that?
Wow.
The four original expansion teams were the Mets, the Angels, the Colt 45s, who became the Astros, and the Washington Senators, who Ted Williams actually managed for a few years,
yep,
who moved to Texas and became the Texas Rangers. So those are the four original expansion teams. Nolan Ryan pitched for those four teams, only those four teams, mm-hmm, which is kind of crazy, but he was the first one to play for the four original expansion teams. So, again, useless trivia. You're probably never going to need that, but it's kind of cool. So,
you never know. Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Trust me, you never know.
It's true. So, that's very true. Good point. So, maybe one of those nights where we do a trivia night. We got to do that, too. Yep. So, so the Warrior One to Watch. Before we get into the Warrior One to Watch, I just want to, I don't want to toot our own horn, but I kind of want to toot our own horn here. Okay. 2 weeks ago, I told you to watch Game 7, okay, of the Stanley Cup Finals instead of watching Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, okay? The Celtics got the doors blown off in the Eastern Conference Finals, and Game 7 since Pens went to double overtime with the Pens won, okay? So that was that. Last week, I told you to watch the Women's College World Series, okay? Last night, Oklahoma played Florida in the championship round of the Women's College World Series. So I don't know if you know how it works here, but it's basically a double elimination thing, and the two teams that don't lose throughout the entire thing play in a three-game series. So the first game was last night, and unlike the freaking NBA Finals that take four fucking weeks to do, they play game one last night, game two tonight, game three, if necessary, tomorrow night. Let's just get it done.
Yeah.
So they get it done 3 days in a row. Last night was game one. Oklahoma beat Florida in 17 innings. 17. Yes, I said it. What was it? 17 innings. 7-4 was the final score. How about that?
How long was the game?
It was like 3.5 hours. So how about that? It was a 17-inning game, and it lasted as long as a Red Sox 9-inning game.
Yep.
So, but here's what happened. The bottom of the seventh, Oklahoma was winning. By the way, the bottom of the seventh is like the bottom of the ninth in softball. We talked about that last week. Florida came back and tied it in the bottom of the ninth. Oklahoma took the lead in the top of the 12th. Florida tied it again in the bottom of the 12th, and Oklahoma hit a three-run homer in the top of the 17th, and in the bottom of the 17th, with two guys on and a chance to tie it again, Florida struck out, and so there's that. So, anyways, interesting turn of events there. Florida, by the way, is the number one seed. Oklahoma is the number 10 seed, but they are the defending national champions. So, there's that. One thing I wanted to talk about just really quickly before we get into the Warrior One to Watch this week. I was watching the highlights of this game. I watched a little bit of the game last night, but I was watching the highlights afterwards. And the whole team goes out after a home run. Like, the whole team meets at the plate after a home run. And I just think that's the coolest thing ever, right? Like, in baseball, we bitch if some guy fucking takes too long looking at it, right? In this one, they hit a home run, they go nuts, they sprint around the field, they sprint around the bases, and the whole fucking team's jumping up and down at the plate, and it's could be the first inning. Doesn't matter. Every single home run. And I just think it's so freaking awesome.
See, what I would do, I would just bean every player if I was a pitcher. Also, if I bunted for a single, I would have my whole team come out and congratulate me.
So, but anyways, interesting stuff there. I just thought it was interesting. I thought it was cool. You obviously don't, but, I thought it was
cool. No, that's cool. That is cool. Because Little League does that. And I think the opposing team gives, the player a high five if he hits a home run in Little League.
I might be right. I think
it's like that.
I wouldn't do that.
Which is nice. Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
On the way by. But anyways, so, good sportsmanship's great and all, but we're playing for the World
Series. All right, I'd bean his ass, too, next time he came up.
Yeah. All right, Pedro. So anyways, the Warrior one to watch this week, not a ton going on. Obviously the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, you know, the NBA Finals, probably you're not going to really watch anything, but they're on opposite nights, so why not? NBA Finals tomorrow night, Stanley Cup Finals Thursday night. Game 5 should be really interesting. Game 3 of the NBA Finals is going to be interesting because if the Cavs get blown out again, the series over is going to be a sweep. Okay. Right. If the Cavs win or at least give them a game, then maybe they'll give them a game in Game 4, maybe even take it. So, but we'll see what happens. But anyways, the Warrior one to watch this week is the Summer X Games. That's right.
Nice.
In Minnesota, June 13th, 16th. So the 13th, I think, is Monday. Monday?
Today,
week from tonight. Yeah. So June 13th, 16th of the Summer X Games. Check it out on ESPN2 or the Ocho or wherever the hell the X Games are. Find it. I'm not responsible for finding it for you. I'm just telling you to watch it, okay? So, anyways, that's it.
We got another Warrior one to watch.
Yes.
30 for 30, Celtics-Lakers comes out next week.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really know much about it, but I just know
it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to know much about it. Yeah. It's going to be fantastic. It's Lakers-Celtics. Yeah. Like, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. So, all right. So, that's actually it tonight, and we'll see you next week. All right. We'll play you out with some MDOT.